broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
One thing that the American people need to know is that we did not know, nor
am I still going to be allowed to keep my poll?
They've asked people if they know.
There have been people who called us pedophiles, they've called us perverts, they've said we're...
Syria now is currently being subjected to a strong...
Oh, my Lord.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows can't go. I mean, the places we go that other talk shows can't go, you don't even know the half of it. You don't know what we got to go through every night to get this show out, man. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com, that's philhendryshow.com, live streaming video, Phil TV and HD right now, and you can also catch an episode or two of Hendry, Emotionally Fragile. I don't know whether we're going to have that up on demand or not. Tomorrow morning we're heading out pretty early. I got to record for Napoleon Dynamite. Now, how's that going? It's going good. It's going good. It's great, great group of people, and I had the great pleasure of you know, we had Jennifer Coolidge at the table read, and her sister.
What are you talking about? Hillary Duff was that your read?
No, her sister Haley is a great actress herself, and she. In fact, was a part of our table read. So anyway, I got to get up early.
Well, I want to talk about more about Haley Duff and everything.
No, man, I don't want to talk about that, okay? I just got to get up early and get down there for the record. And I do, but get it fixed. That first, I got listeners out there all over America saying, where the hell is Hendry working?
That's not true. We're going to try and get it fixed.
Then get it fixed. I have to very professionally say, well, I lost my phone system. All right. 877-876. I didn't mean to yell at you guys.
Well, I'm trying the best I can.
All right. Murder victims' parents sue Facebook over crime scene photo that they want Facebook to turn over the names of everyone who viewed it or downloaded the picture. And this is the news of the day, in my opinion. You can talk all you want about Libya, and we can get into Syria. And you know, I understand that most people don't really know what it is anyone's talking about when it comes to Libya and Syria. And I'll explain all of that, because I do. And I'm not going to filter it through anything necessarily ideologic. See, here's the thing. Being a conservative means that you're into truth. So I don't fear going anywhere with my opinions, because as a conservative, all I'm interested in is the truth. Liberals are not. Liberals are interested in propaganda. So when we talk about Syria and Libya, I can say, for instance, as a conservative, the problems in dealing with those countries are much, much bigger and go further than Obama. If you think it's all about Obama, you're not a true conservative. And how do I know? Because I am one. So we'll talk about that. But if you really want to know what this world is about these days, what the really big, big story, in, as far as I'm concerned, is social media and how it deals with us as individuals, how it deals with our privacy, whether or not we're really respected by it. What are we getting in return, folks? We're making a lot of people wealthy over at Facebook. We're making a lot of people rich over at Twitter. What are we getting in return? We get to sit there and tweet our stupid asses off. That's what we get to do. All right. That's nice. It is a way of promoting oneself if one's in business. It's a way of trying things out in terms of communication, jokes, stories, poems, etc. Facebook, it's another way of advertising a business. But let's face it, you know, it's still a grind out there. So, you know, you get people, and I don't know, you get 5,000 friends, quote unquote. But the exchange is not that great of an exchange, is it? I mean, there's somebody else making, like I said, a lot of money on this. Now, here is the story of a woman that was murdered, and an EMT worker took a picture of the woman's body and put it on Facebook. Now, there's no words that adequately describe the stupidity of an individual like that. Like, if, for instance, if I ran into that guy, if that was my sister or my wife, and I ran into that guy, and I had a baseball bat, it would be the end of his days on this planet. And it probably wouldn't be it's not a great thing to admit to, but that's just the facts. I mean, that's how you make people feel, pal. Now, the parents, however, they have stopped short of that, but what they are doing is they're suing Facebook. Facebook, of course, turns around and says the suit is without merit. Facebook says that they're just enabling people to have a social networking site, and they can put anything that they want there, and Facebook isn't to blame, and they're not to be held accountable or responsible for anything. They just provide the big bulletin board that everybody gets to slap that crap up on. And the only thing that they do is they regulate the traffic, and they edit things for content. They're always editing things for content, things that are obscene, things that are patently obscene. And yet somehow the Facebook attorneys think that it's without merit that this picture was put on their website of a dead body, the daughter of a couple of people, and it's got nothing to do with them. The suit demands that Facebook delete the picture from their backup servers, where all pictures posted are stored after a user uploads them to the site, as well as identify any and all users who viewed and or downloaded the picture. Well, now they may be going a little too far.
What do you mean by view it?
People who just happen to view it. Now, downloading it, possibly they got a case there, where, in other words, if someone is to, it's like child porn, you know. You look at child porn. Is it a violation of the law? Well, I mean, if you just happen upon a picture of something that is illegal, it's not necessarily illegal. But when you're downloading it, when you're storing it, when you're saving it, and when you're transferring it or transmitting it to others, damn right it's against the law.
Well, how do you know if people are looking at it?
I don't know. There must be some way of figuring these things out. Here is at least the Facebook side of things, I think. They say that this lawsuit is without merit. They plan on fighting it vigorously. In an interview on CNN, Martha Wimmer, the victim's mother, is reacting to Facebook saying that it's without merit.
And I'm going to fight them right back. And I'm not going to stop until there's no breath left in my body. They can argue the point any way they want, but they are 100% wrong. All I want is my daughter's picture back. Mm-hmm. Why do they have to have it? What are they going to do with her picture? They don't need it. If it was their daughter, would they want it on there? I don't think so.
They want Facebook to get rid of that picture. And they want the names of individuals that have viewed it or downloaded it, I guess, so they can have possession of this image and that this image is not out on the Internet at all. Former emergency medical technician Mark Mussarella was one of the first responders to arrive while working the scene. He took a gruesome cell phone picture of the aspiring teacher's body and posted it to his Facebook page. This is the amazing thing about how stupid some people are. And I was talking to some people the other day. I said, we live in a day and age now where people are so eager to, you know, put their stuff out there, they don't realize they're breaking the law sometimes. So here's dumbass, takes a picture, puts it on his Facebook page, and it doesn't even occur to him that this might be a violation of the law. Or it might be at least something that would get him fired. The civil suit filed by the Wimmer family named several defendants, including this jackass Mussarella, his former employer, Richmond University Medical Center, Fire Commissioner Salvatore Cassano, the Fire Department of New York, the apartment building that Carolyn Wimmer lived in, and Facebook. The suit has not indicated whether they plan on suing the people who downloaded or viewed the offensive picture, but they want the picture, obviously, off the Internet, which means they want it... And I can tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Wimmer, and I, you know, I wish you luck, but there is some real scum out there, and there are people that will, as you file this lawsuit, and they have downloaded that picture, they're duplicating it now as we speak, and they are putting it even deeper and further into the labyrinth of the Internet. You'll never get all of these pictures, obviously, off the net, but what you can do is... You can at least know when it's visible someplace. You can take action against those individuals if you win the suit. And you can make life kind of uncomfortable for anybody that decides, oh, wow, I have a picture of this Carolyn Wimmer. I think I'll put it up on my website or maybe just post it on a transfer site. You know, we were talking about that, by the way.
Yeah, you know, talk about that transfer site thing, man.
You think I should?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting when you did it on a, talking about it on a Fragile Phil.
It ain't called Fragile Phil. It's Henry, Emotionally Fragile.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get a little bit deeper into this, but let me just, according to Wimmer's attorney, the suit seeks unspecified monetary compensation for all the defendants except Facebook. The plaintiffs are not demanding any monetary reward from the social networking website. Instead, they want the company to delete the photograph from its servers and to provide them with information on who saw and downloaded the image. The image is no longer available to view or download, but it is still on Facebook's servers. The lawsuit says Facebook is in part to blame for the pictures being posted and disseminated. In Carolyn's case, pictures were taken without her consent by an EMT who was trespassing when he took his sick and illegal pictures. Facebook displayed them to its members and allowed them to download the same, according to the attorney, and he's right. He's right. 877-876-PHIL. So when we come back, I'll talk to you about Pirate Bay, something you've never heard of. Probably a lot of you have not heard of, and a lot of you have. And I'll tell you what's happened to them when we come back. And I'll tell you also what a pack of phonies they are and what it is that they do really for a living. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. Yeah, it's the Phil Henry Show.
Hold on. Welcome back here, Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the world the world famous Phil Henry Show. Excuse me.
You know, I'm supposed to sound like you're going to die.
I'm not going to die. I just sort of choked. No, I'm fine. The world famous Phil Henry Show. And Bud's in my ear now because he just talked to Rance, who convinced him that Facebook has a great case because it is true. It is true that if you go to an entity that is either hosting or linking something, a picture, a video, a movie, and you say to them, oh, that is copyright protected material. I am an empowered agent of the individual that holds that copyright. Take it down. They must take it down. Now, Facebook did take down that picture. However, Facebook still has copies of that. Facebook still holds it in their servers. That's what the parents are talking about. The parents are saying the picture was taken illegally. The picture was posted illegally. And yes, it was. It was taken down. Yes, it was. But that illegal record that contains the image of our daughter, well, you're still holding on to it. You have that. It's in your servers. You obtained that from an individual that committed a crime when he took that picture. You had it on your site when you were informed of the fact that it was an illegal image. You took it down, but you are holding on to that contraband. Why? It wasn't yours originally. You had no right to it originally. And in compliance with the law, when you were asked to take it down, you did. And that's well and good. But they're taking this a step further. They're saying, No, just taking it down. You're holding on to that in your servers, and we want that off of your servers, and we also want to know who downloaded that image. Their lawyer is going to have a big mountain to climb, but I think the guy has a right on behalf of the family to say, why do individuals get to hold on to an illegally obtained image of our daughter when initially and successfully, we claimed that it was illegally obtained in the first place. I don't know. Then there's a thing called compelling public interest, which means, well, now it's in compelling public interest, and we have a record of this thing that is in the compelling interest of the public, so we get to hold on to it. It's a very goofy, kind of weird thing, but I think they've got some at least a claim as far as Facebook goes. I don't think they're going to be able to track down everybody that ever downloaded it, though.
Yeah, what about that thing on a Pirate Bay?
All right, now Pirate Bay is different. Now, Pirate Bay is an entity that was started in Sweden, and it was started in late 2003, and they have this, or they claim to have this philosophy that the internet freedom, total internet freedom, Now, they have convinced a lot of people that total internet freedom is a really groovy thing and that they really believe in total internet freedom. Well, no, they don't, because let me tell you about Pirate Bay. Now, they don't call themselves a BitTorrent sharing site. And basically what that means is, hi, I have a site. Anybody that has a piece of material, you can post a link here or you can put it here and people can, you know, find the link and go and get the material. And I'm not responsible. And it isn't me. I just happen to, you know, allow that stuff to be transferred here. And yes, they have advertising. And yes, we do make money with the advertisers. And, you know, it's a very, very, very weird way to make a living because, frankly, with Pirate Bay, they believe in internet freedom. So they say, well, if you come to me and you say that that material is copyright protected, yeah, we're still not going to take it down. We laugh at you. We ridicule you. That's what they say. Ha 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 ha. We're a transfer site. We're not a hosting site. See, they don't understand the law. The law says if you host, if you transfer, if you whatever, enable someone to go and get a piece of material that is protected by a copyright and you're asked to disable that ability, you have to disable it, whether it's taking the link down, not hosting it anymore, or whatever. Pirate Bay didn't get it. They openly ridiculed people when they asked them to take the links down who held the copyright. And the, some of the people that they openly ridiculed were some pretty heavy hitters in Hollywood. Now we get to the interesting part of the story. Sony, Warner Brothers, big studios all banded together and they said, well, guess what? We're going to sue your ass. How do you feel about that? Ha, 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 we don't care. All right. They sued them. They also entered into an action with the Swedish government, whereby there was a raid. Swedish police raided the offices of Pirate Bay. And what wound up happening in the first trial was the following thing. Pirate Bay wound up having their principals sentenced to jail, and they were fined. So I guess they broke the law. However, Pirate Bay appealed. They appealed. Now, guess how successful their appeal was? You want to know?
Yeah.
Well, the jail time was shortened, but the fine was made bigger. I guess the court felt putting them in jail, what's that going to do? But fining their ass, that's really going to punish them. All right. So their appeal failed as well. So the fact of the matter is, Pirate Bay was subject to criminal penalty. Not to mention, I don't know whether these guys in Hollywood are going to sue them. How much money have they got? You know, you don't sue people unless they have money. If they don't have money, you don't sue them. There's no point. But they did get a criminal penalty placed on these guys. Now, their principals, some of them are still in jail. Now, here's the thing that's hypocritical about Pirate Bay. And here is why Pirate Bay is basically just the biggest phony baloney entity that has ever. And people are conned by the bullcrap. Look, Pirate Bay, do whatever you want, but don't con people into saying you believe in internet freedom. You're just a bunch of bloodsuckers, and you're bending over and greasing up just like everybody else. Pirate Bay will now no longer traffic in Hollywood material or post-Hollywood material or make enable people to get Hollywood material because they've already had their ass kicked by Hollywood. They're in jail. They got fined. So they're not going to go after, nor are they going to countenance violating the copyrights of Sony or Warner Brothers because they've already had their ass handed to them by Sony and Warner Brothers, right? But Pirate Bay is so about the little people that guess who they still screw? Guess who they're still stealing from? Guess whose material they're still violating? You got it. The small people. The musicians, the artists, the people who hold copyright but don't have the attorneys that Sony and Warner Brothers have got. So Pirate Bay, for all of their bluster about being about internet freedom and the people, you guys are a lying bunch of punks. All you do is steal from the little guy, and now you're running scared of the big boys in Hollywood. And I don't know what's going on in jail, but I guess that's between you guys and your bunkmates. So that's Pirate Bay. I'm glad I was able to explain it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, wow. All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Wow.
Right, wow. All right, let's see. Tecum, or whatever the hell the name of this whale, the whale that killed the trainer at SeaWorld, is back at work. SeaWorld claims it was the whale's choice to return. You're kidding. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Henry, Emotionally Fragile, will be up tomorrow on demand. Also, our coffee mug is for sale in the shop and our uncensored video in HD as well. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As we mentioned, our website, philhendryshow.com. If you go over there, you can get the backstage pass. Now, what does a backstage pass do for you? Well, a lot. It does a lot.
Yeah.
You can get the live streaming video of our show. You can get a access to the largest archive of any single radio show. And see, I mean, you guys that are just joining the show now, you don't have any idea where this show has been and where it's going. And we have thousands of hours of archive video. By the way, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at twitter.com/realphilhendry. That's my personal Twitter. That's twitter.com/realphilhendry. Now, here's some goofy stuff, man, if ever there was anything that is this goofy. Delaware State Police investigating hoop incident. I don't know, how many of you guys saw this video? And I suspect that there's quite a few because it was, what do you call it, viral?
Yeah, well, I mean, that one guy sent that, speaking of Twitter, one guy put a view on Twitter.
Yeah, a guy, one of my listeners, one of our listeners on Twitter did send me this thing. And it was the video of this guy, and he is talking into the camera, and he's saying, yeah, our basketball hoop is going to be taken down by DDOT, which is what they call the, or DelDOT, the Delaware Department of Transportation. He kept calling it DDOT. And he said, and we have told them we don't want our basketball hoop taken down. And they said, well, we're going to take it down. And look, here they come now, okay? So we're going to play a couple of clips. I don't know if you can hear it very well, to actually watch it. And Jason, if you have the link to this video, I'd like to see it. I had it on Twitter. And I could probably, what I'll do is show it to the people who are watching the video cast. But watching this thing is pretty interesting. And watching how all of this transpires when this individual from the Delaware Department of Transportation comes to the guy's house, the guy's wife climbs up on top.
Yeah, she climbed up on a hoop.
She climbs up on top of the hoop, man. And he's laughing. He says, there's my wife. Now, you know, they ain't going to get her down. And sure enough, this woman gets on top of this hoop, you know.
They're gonna pull her down too.
Well, he said to the woman from DelDOT or DDOT, he said, "Listen, my wife is gonna climb back up that hoop, and she'll be up there when you guys come back." And the DDOT woman says, "No, she won't. No, she won't." This woman from the state, and I understand that. You know, I really hate getting into it with cops because at the end of the day, I was like, well, those guys are just, they're the middle guy. They're the middle man. They're the blue-collar worker, kind of like everybody else. Nonetheless, this lady was feeling her authority, I'll tell you that. And at one point, she even told the guy to get back into his house.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
He's out there and he's saying, hey, 60 years this hoop has been there. For 60 years, there has been a basketball hoop on this street in front of this house, and now you guys are coming out here and you're telling me that you're going to take that basketball hoop down? Now, if you're watching our video cast, we have it up here on, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute the audio on this thing, but I tell you what I will do. I am going to play the audio for you now. This is a gentleman. In this clip, two unidentified police officers tell John McCaffrey that he can't keep his basketball hoop and pole once it's removed. He can. He may keep it once it's removed from the ground, and they don't keep their promise.
Am I still going to be allowed to keep my pole?
They've asked people if they want to. They'll lay it in the driveway.
Well, I would like my pole, yes, because
they let everybody keep it.
That's not what I saw, and my neighbors didn't tell me that.
Okay, well, the law is supposed to take it, but they offered you the courtesy of letting you keep it.
All right, they offer you the courtesy of letting you keep it. Well, guess what? After the poll's removed, the same female officer from the first clip denies ever saying the McCaffrey family could keep the poll. John and his wife, Melissa, were not happy. Listen to this.
That poll's staying, please.
Yeah, all of them are gone.
What? You just told me I can keep it. You lied. You said we had the option of keeping the poll.
You can come and pick it up.
No, you didn't say that. You said I can keep my poll.
Your kids right now go in the house.
My house. We can stand out.
Listen to her telling the guy to go in the house.
I can talk
you
to
just
you.
Lied to me, officer.
You can talk to me.
That's roll the tape back.
You know what?
You just told me we can keep that thing. And now you lied. That's a great use of force and money power today. And I have the freedom to speak. It's the United States First Amendment rights. Speak my will.
You know what? I can't help but feel be on the side of this the homeowner in this situation. The cops are in a bad position, but hey, here we are in the middle of tough times. Now they're taking the basketball poles off of this street because of some ordinance, some kind of either city ordinance or otherwise, and the police are doing their job. This one cop, though, made it, and I say cop, she's wearing a sweatshirt. Is she a cop?
She don't look like a cop to me. I don't know what she is.
She's telling this guy all kinds of stuff. Get back in your house, she says. Get back in. That's what really set him off. Get back in your house. Now, she did cite the guy for disturbing the peace or whatever the hell you call it, you know.
Yeah, it was like creating a disturbance or something. But, she don't want to create the disturbance, man, coming out and taking that poll.
And we were just showing a video here on the on our webcast that showed the wife sitting on top. Not to be married to a woman like that, man. To me, that's heaven. I love it. I love you to be married to a woman like that, man. She's going to climb up that pole, man. You're going to have to... The wife is on top of the pole. Now what happens is they come and they rip this pole out of the ground. And the man kept saying on the video, 60 years, he said, 60 years of history is gone. So there had been a basketball hoop going back to 1950. Am I right about it? Yeah, according to this man, in front of this home. And he says, it's no more. There goes 60 years of history. But now they take the hoop. And I don't know, and they did promise him that he could have it. But you can't hear it off the video that we're watching, but I can play this again for you. Let's listen to a very good case he's making.
That poll's staying, please.
Yeah, all of them are gone.
What? You just told me I can keep it. You lied. You said we had the option of keeping the poll.
You can come and pick it up.
No, you didn't say that. You said I can keep my poll.
Your kids right now go in the house.
You just lied to me, officer.
You can talk to me.
Roll the tape back.
You know what?
You just told me we could keep that thing. And now you lie. That's a great use of force and money power today. And I have the freedom to speak. It's the United States First Amendment rights to speak my will.
That's true, sir. Ain't no doubt about that, man. Ain't no doubt about that. Here's where I think everything went wrong. First of all, the cop didn't handle things all that well. The cop was, go back in your house and you can have the poll. No, you can't have the poll. I mean, a little bit of sensitivity here, you know.
Well, like you're saying, everything's really bad these days.
Things are tough, you know. By the way, I gotta hand it to Delaware Online for posting the video. But they didn't have the wife on top of the poll. That was, if you'll pardon the expression.
I was going to say, what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean by that. She climbed up the telephone. Oh, so that's it, huh?
You went to all hours. You go there. She climbed the pole. She climbed the pole. That you didn't even know?
Know what, man? I'm talking about the spunk. Well, I'm talking about the vigor of that woman to whatever the word is to climb up that pole. Yes, and stay there and protect it from the Del Dot workers. And she did. So there's an interesting picture of her sitting behind the backboard. But I have to tell you, the cops are within their rights because of the law. The homeowner is understandably upset because this is something he's been fighting, and the other people of the street have too. Now along comes the city with some kind of a backloader, and there's a Delaware state cop there, and this cop wants no part of this. I say uniform cop. He's got the Smokey the Bear hat on, and he's a trooper. He's a state trooper. The authority figure that's being spoken to, the woman from the state, I guess is a cop, or she's a representative of DelDOT, but she is not uniformed, but she's pushing her weight around a little bit. And she's doing it in a situation where it's really, you know, not smart. Go back in your house, you know. And no, I didn't tell you that you could keep the pole. Well, yes, you did. The man's absolutely right. So she didn't really understand what she was dealing with. And I feel for the guy, you know. And I got to tell you something, man. I have been in situations like this with homeowners associations where you got to take your basketball hoop down, where the kids can't use the colored chalk on the street, where the this and the that and the something else. And people will say, well, this is such a threat to my... It's not a threat. I understand. We'll take the hoop down. Isn't there any way we can talk about it? If you don't want children playing basketball, why do you even allow children to live here? If you don't want a little girl to be using colored chalk as she draws things in the street, which is what little girls do with colored chalk, then why would you even allow a family to bring little kids here? I mean, just exactly what do you think is happening here? And I saw something, and I think this would be interesting, okay? The thing I was looking at the other day?
Yeah, you look at a history of Central Park or something in New York?
Yeah.
Well, that the same thing that guy was saying.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Because I was looking at a history of Central Park, like Bud was saying, and how Central Park came about in the 1850s, and why Central Park, once it was built in New York, why it was not an immediate success. It was not an immediate success. Now, understand something, folks. Here is New York City, Manhattan, and by the 1850s, it was a teeming, from about the middle of Manhattan Island all the way on down, it was a teeming and congested city. It was on its way to being the city that we know today, only it didn't have the sanitation, it didn't have the building codes, it didn't have the streets. It obviously was a city that was finding its way, and they really desperately needed something like a park. And the city fathers of New York said, you know, let's build a park right in the middle of the city. Now, they could have put up little parks like they have in London. London has little squares, the little Kensington here and the little park here and this and that. But they put this enormous park there. All right. And well, they should have. Now, they finally build this thing, and the park is open to the public. And guess what? Only the rich people go there.
What for?
Because all the rules that they make, first of all, it's so far uptown. By that, in those days in the 1850s, Central Park was pretty far uptown. Today, of course, you would think, well, Central Park's pretty well situated in the middle of Manhattan. Well, no, it wasn't back then. It was way uptown. So the poor people that lived down the Lower East Side, the Five Points, all those areas that we've become familiar with, they had to take what they called an omnibus or some kind of transportation. In those days, it cost a nickel. And if you're making a dollar a day, a nickel, that's a, you know, it's a piece of change.
Dollar a day?
Yeah. So the poor folks weren't taking advantage of it, all the rich people. And the other reason why only the rich people were taking advantage of it, they had all these rules. You can't play baseball, you can't play cricket, you weren't allowed to wrestle, you weren't allowed to run, you weren't allowed to, you had no roughhousing. And they had all these rules that meant the only people that were really going to have any kind of a day were people who lived near there. First of all, were wealthy people living in the upper reaches of Manhattan. They would go in their horse and carriages, and they'd have their little girls all dolled up with the bows in their hair, and they would sit very politely, and they would share a tea or whatever the hell they do, but there wasn't any of the... roughhousing. There was no athletics. There wasn't any real contact. And one of the reasons why they built Central Park is that one of the advantages, they felt that it would bring the poor and the wealthy together. It would bring all classes of people together, and they would interact and learn from each other, and this is true democracy, right? Well, it didn't happen like that because guess what? We had this rule and that rule and another rule over here, and you can't go here, and you can't go there, and you can't go this, you can't do that, And it just depresses people, and it keeps from happening the very things that you want to have happen, which is the interaction of human beings. The kids get some sunshine. A man can take a walk. A woman can take a walk. People get a little bit of fresh air, and they get away from the city. So these rules that we put in place thinking that they're so good for society, something we ought to rethink these. You say, well, you know, the basketball hoop. Come on, man. 60 years there's been a basketball hoop there. You're going to come along with a backloader and rip it out of the ground because of the this or that of the building code or the, you know. All right.
So did they ever let the poor people in?
Yeah, they did. They relaxed the rules in Central Park. And today, of course, is evidence of that. They had to. They said, you know, this is ridiculous. Of course you can play baseball. Of course you can walk on the grass. And they gradually learned that this was not going to is not going to work. The man who designed Central Park was a man named Olmsted. And he's a great, great landscape architect. One of the greatest. He worked on the 1893 World's Fair. He put in place the beauty that became the World's Fair in Chicago, which was one of the great success stories of all time. And he also designed Central Park. So he was a true artist, but you need more than just an artist. You need someone who understands what parks are. Frederick Law Olmsted was his name. And they had to suspend the building of Central Park briefly for the Civil War. And Frederick Olmsted went into service with the Union Army working, I believe, in sanitation or the medical corps, something like that. But then he came, after the war, came out and went back to it. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to wrap up here. I told you that we'd tell you about the whale. And, you know, we'll talk about the whale at SeaWorld. He's back to work. I'm not a fan of SeaWorld, the whale, none of that, man. I'm not even a fan of the whale, you know. I believe in animal rights, but... Anyway, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You stop.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the right. Phil Hendry Show. Come on. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I got to tell you about SeaWorld. Go ahead, bud. Do it.
Well, I was thinking of that lady from the Delaware Department of Transportation.
Yeah.
What if she was, like, doing Denzel Washington going, you know, like, you're all going to be playing basketball in Pelican Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you talking about, man?
I mean, if she went and did Denzel Washington, she would put the guy back in there.
The woman's going to do a Denzel Washington in Training Day?
Yeah.
You're going to be playing basketball in Pelican Bay. Right.
Oh, are you kidding me, man?
No, she should have brought the hammer. You know, King Kong ain't got crap on me.
She ain't going to do that. I didn't even know what she was. She wasn't a cop. She was from the Department of Transportation in Delaware, and she butchered that whole situation. I mean, look, if it was me, I would have said to the guy, I'd say, sir, you know, I totally understand. It's really heartbreaking. You know, it's really heartbreaking. It's a we're caught here with a city ordinance, you know, and I'm going to do everything I can to facilitate your request. Well, they wouldn't call me back. I'll do what I can, sir. But you know what? Right now, this thing's got to come down. And I would have left the poll. I wouldn't take the poll, you know.
No, she did say I could have the poll.
All right, SeaWorld's killer whale makes a splashy return to stage, gets a thunderous ovation, and get a load of this. We'll have to read and find out whether we're just seeing things or whether this is some kind of a joke. SeaWorld claims it was the whale's choice to perform. Thunderous applause greeted SeaWorld's Tilikum today as the killer whale returned to the theme park's big stage 13 months after grabbing trainer Dawn Brancho by her ponytail and killing her. SeaWorld officials would not specify what safety precautions were instituted, but some appeared to be obvious. Steel bars blocked the whale from the main stage, and female trainers wore their hair in high buns. Trainers also stayed out of the water and off the stages during the whale's performance. When the 12,000-pound orca made his splashy entrance, the crowd erupted in applause and cheers. It included the thrill of danger. "I was afraid," said one boy, who was splashed by the giant whale. Colleen Gorman of St. Petersburg Beach said, "I didn't see any new protective measures. He's a time bomb. If anyone gets near him, he's been linked to 3 deaths already. I'm afraid that if anybody comes close to him, he'll do it again," said Colleen. And then someone said, "Well, what are you doing here?" And she went to see if anybody gets killed. No, she didn't say that, but...
You're saying Orlando, too. You said San Diego.
I didn't say San Diego.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in Orlando. He's very, very big, said Bob Beasy of Chicago, who was pleased to see that the trainers were out of the pool. They put up bars for safety, which means the trainers are safe and we can still see those beautiful animals perform, he said. SeaWorld officials said that it was the 12,000-pound whale's choice to perform in the Believe show this morning, and that none of the park's whales are coerced to participate. In a statement, executive from SeaWorld defended Tillicum's reentry to the performing world, saying it's an important component of his physical, social, and mental enrichment. You know, SeaWorld, you can have your whale show. Who's going to stop you? But why don't you just chill out with your bull crap, okay? You people are a disgrace. Yeah, let me tell you something about whales. Do you see whales bobbing up and down in the middle of the ocean?
Uh-uh.
That's what they do at SeaWorld when they're not performing. That's a natural environment. I understand you put in safety this and safety that, and I understand. Our technical director is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Don't forget, our website is philhendryshow.com, the strong right arm here of Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video of the show each and every night. Listen to the podcast. Listen to our classic podcast. Go into the shop and get yourself a mug. Get yourself some CDs. Just get yourself, you know, get yourself. This is Phil Hendry saying, never mind.
Phil Hendry.